Our concluding class for Parsha Shlacha this year is going to move forward to the beginning of the sixth reading. In the latter half of the fourth and then into the fifth readings, the Torah speaks to us about offerings, about korbanot, and the message is, yes, I'm angry at you, says God, you're not going to Israel, but you will make it eventually. And therefore we have mitzvahs that are connected to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and specifically we speak about the concept of korbanot, of offerings. In the sixth reading, the Torah's tone changes. Instead of talking about korbanot, instead of talking about offerings and Beit HaMikdash activities, the Torah speaks to us about the creation of bread and the idea of giving dough. Chapter 15, verse 17, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemer. God speaks to Moshe, and this is what he tells him to convey to the Jewish people. Daber el bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'amarta aleihem, and you should tell to them, v'yachem el ha'oretz, when you will come into the land of Israel. The emphasis here is v'yachem, when you will come, not when you will conquer and settle, but rather from the moment you come into the land of Israel, asher ani mevi eschem shama, that I'm going to be bringing you there. So usually or typically when it speaks of the special way we handle the grain of Eretz Yisrael, the Bevayachem means once we come into the land, and once we settle things, and so on and so forth, then we start to take Truma and Meiser, etc. But here the emphasis is on Bevayachem. That the moment we come into the land of Eretz Yisrael, even before Yerusha v'Yeshiva, even before the formal inheritance, and even before the settling of the land of Israel, immediately, right away, V'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'aretz, when you will eat from the land, bread of this land, terimo truma la'ashem, then you give a special truma for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take a look in Rashi now. He says, B'voyachem ala aretz. The pasuk begins this business of Afrash Eschala, the story of taking dough, separating dough, and giving that dough to the Kohen with the verbiage of B'voyachem. And why is that? To teach you that this mitzvah happens immediately, b'vayachem. Rashi says, "Meshuna biyazu mikol biyais shabateira." This arrival, biya means arrival, like baruch haba. So this arrival is different than all the other arrivals in the Torah. B'kulam nemar, and all of the other arrivals, it says, "Kisavoy," when you will come. "Kisavoyu," a plural syntax, when you will come. Lefichach kulam lemeide zumezu. Therefore, we're able to juxtapose all to one another, and we learn from one another that just like kisavayu in one place has a specific halachic limitation. Ba'achas mehem she'eino ela la'acha yirusha kisavayu. The Torah says that this kisavayu is only applicable after you've come to the land of Israel, conquered the land of Israel, and settled the land of Israel. So I'm able to learn af kulam kein. The rest are all in like fashion. Aval zoi, this one nemar b'voyachem. It says when you arrive. Mishenichnesu ba, the moment they came into Eretz Yisrael, va'achlu milachma, and they ate of the bread of Eretz Yisrael, immediately nischayvu b'chala, they immediately became obligated in the mitzvah of chala. Now, it's true that the mitzvah is be'isa, b'chatchila, the mitzvah is to give with dough. However, as the Ksav v'Kabbalah writes, this mitzvah is not necessarily with dough, and that's why it says ba'acholchem milechem aretz. What do you mean ba'acholchem milechem? It's not lechem yet, it's dough. Dough is not lechem. Dough is isa. Why would the Torah say isa? Why does the Torah say lechem? It shouldn't say lechem, it shouldn't say bread. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says that's because lichatchila, ideally, this mitzvah should be formed ba'ida lechem, ba'ida isa, when it's still dough. However, b'di'eved, if that didn't get done, then it can even be taken once the dough is baked, once it's actually bread. And when do we do it specifically? After, not when it's in a state of dough? By matzah, for Pesach. We don't want to waste any time. So we're so worried about getting the matzah done on time, the baking is completed. Another option, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, is sometimes if you don't have enough dough in your batch, you have to have a certain amount. So if you have the bread accumulates in the basket, or some would argue today in the freezer, then that's when you become obligated in the mitzvah of challah. Why does it say lechem ha'aretz? It's a funny expression, the bread of the land. So the idea of lechem ha'aretz, says Ksav HaKabbalah, is it's only the five grains that become obligated in this mitzvah, not any other kind of grain. Okay, on to the mitzvah itself. Verse 20, Reishis Arisa Sechem. Here we do speak of dough, and that is, as we said, Lachatchila, the way the mitzvah should be fulfilled. The firstling of your dough, challah, that's called challah. Tarimu truma, you'll bring it, lift it up as a gift. The truma's goyden, just the same way you give truma from your harvest. Kein tarimu oisa, this is how you'll give a truma from the dough. Even though principally the wheat was already truma, you already took off truma. Nonetheless, now you'll give a truma from the dough itself. Rashi says, Reishis Arisa Seichem. Here, the idea, it says clearly Arisa. Arisa Seichem is Isa. This is the mixture of dough. This is when alkaline or water gets mixed with the dust that comes from the five grains that contain the chemicals of Amy B or Amy C Lacey. When that happens, and it becomes one single entity, when the little pieces, little particles come together because of the moisture, and now they form a single reality, which is called dough, a single contiguous reality. When you make, when you mix together enough for to make dough, which is Arisa Seichem, your dough, with your dough. What's the Torah telling me? I only have to give it if it's my dough, not somebody else's dough. It's self-understood. How can you give truma somebody else's dough? What's the emphasis on your dough? The emphasis on your dough is, this is the dough you become used to, the way it is in the Midbar. V'chama, he, how much is that? It says, v'yomeidu ba'omer. They used to measure the manna in the size, in a chalice, the size of an omer. Omer legulgulis, as it says. An omer for each head. So every person got to collect on a daily basis the manna, which would have the volume of an omer. And how much is that? V'shiyurei mem gimel beitzim v'chamish be'el. The amount is 43 eggs and a fifth of an egg, which incidentally spells out the word challah in the gematria. So tarimu, right? Because ches and lamed is 30, right? And ches is 8, gives you 38. And then you add the 5, the hay, what does it give you? It gives you 43. It gives you 43 eggs. So 43 eggs, which is the size, the amount, and then of course we have a machlekes, what size is an egg, and so on and so forth. But at any rate, that amount is the amount of truma. Tarimu mereishisa, you'll take from the beginnings, from the first link. Kaloimar, in other words, koyidim shateichlu, before you eat mimeno. Reishis, the first thing is, tilokach chala, you'll take this piece of dough, you'll separate the chala. Achas tarimu truma l'Hashem. Even before you take a single chala, you make sure you dedicate it to God. Rashi says a chala is a roll, ar tourtil in old French, which is a nice little roll. I don't know, bagel, chris. Kitrumas goyden, like the truma of your harvest, shalei nemar bashir. It doesn't say how much you take when you bring the harvest in. V'loi kitrumas maisa, this is not like the truma which is taken of the tithe. The tithe is exactly a tenth. The truma from that is exactly a tenth. That's not the way it goes here. Here, this is Ketruma's Goyden. But the sages did put a shiur, did put an amount. To somebody who's cooking privately in the house, that should be 1/24 of the volume. And for the person who bakes industrially, commercially, 1/48. The Torah emphasizes in verse 43, from the beginnings of your dough, you'll give to the Almighty. Truma, this is a truma for your generations, for posterity. Rashi says, why does it here say, does it not say that in the beginning of the previous verse? Chaf, Pasuk Chaf begins with the words, the beginnings of your dough. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the 21st verse begins also, Meireishis Arisa Seichem, from the first of your dough. What's the difference? You repeated yourself twice in two sentences. What's the point? So Rashi says, Lama Nemar, why is it? And he answers, Lafish and Nemar, because it says in the beginning of the 20th verse, Reishis Arisa Seichem, the beginnings of your dough. It doesn't say Meireishis, there's no Mem, it doesn't say from the beginning, it says Reishis. So Shemeani, I can hear from this, Rishoina Shabisis, that this is only the firstling flour, the beginnings of the grain. And you would think that you give the whole first grain, the beginning, the first time you make dough, you give it all to the kohen. Talmud Loimer, Meireishis. Meireishis means from amongst the first, not the whole first. It's not like the first batch of flour you have to give away. You have a first batch of flour, you make bread, enjoy. Meireishis, some of that dough has to be separated and given to the kohen. Miktsasa v'loy kula, some of it, but not all of it. Tintu l'Hashem, you give it to God. Lefi shalay shamaynu shir l'chala, because we don't say how much the chala has to be. Nemar titnu. The Torah uses the word titnu. Titnu is a part of the verbiage which would be connected to the Hebrew word of matana. Matana means a gift. It means I'm giving something, to give. Sheyehebo kadei nesina, that it should be like I'm giving something. So if somebody gives, well, there's no shear, doesn't say amount. How much are you going to give? Yeah, I give like a thumb, you know, the size of a thumb, a thimble of dough, a smidgen. So what do you expect you got to do with a smidgen of dough? It's not my problem. I have to give a smidgen. Didn't say a shear. I gave a smidgen. Here, Koyen, have fun with this. So that's not okay. Teresa says, titnu, you have to give. So you have to give. It should be something which we could walk away with. You give them the amount of dough to make a roll. Oh, okay, we're on the way. At least you gave something. And that's the meaning of the pasuk. When Teresa says, titnu, Teresa emphasizes this idea of giving. Now, why is it called challah? Where did the name challah come from? So Rabbeinu Shlema Astruch explains further the words of Rashi. He says, I'll tell you why. Because as Rashi said, it's a tortil, it's a roll. And we say that it has to be kedei nesina. The point then is this. The challah represents something which is, it has a name to it. It has a definition. It's a challah. Like we use the terminology today, a challah. Challah rolls sometimes are very small. You know, we have lechem mishnah challah rolls, but it's still a challah. The point that Torah says, a challah, that it should be a loaf. Not a smidgen. It's got to be something. And that's why it's called a challah. Reb Chaim Paltiel says, the reason that the Torah emphasizes the word challah is because the word challah could be used even for something when it's in a dough state. You can't really call it lechem. Dough can't be called bread. But it could be called challah, he says. And that's why that's the emphasis here. And the Ksav Kabbalah says something very interesting. What is effectively achieved when you take this piece of dough away? What happens? In other words, before you took this dough, the dough was in one kind of state, and after you took the dough, something happened. What's smaller, the difference?
Smaller.
It's smaller, yeah. It's diminished. What else? What happened? What was there before? What was the case before, and what happens afterwards? Think about this. May you eat from the dough in Eretz Yisrael before you take challah? The answer is most definitely not. Why? Because it's like holy. Because it's holy. Now it's set aside. It's got truma, challah mixed into it. Okay. So once I will take off that little piece of dough, what happens to the rest of the dough?
Permissible.
It becomes permissible. How do you say in Hebrew when something becomes usable, mundane? Something was out of circulation in a very, very organic way. The word is kodesh. You know what kodesh means?
Set aside.
Separated. Very good. Set aside. That's what it means. Set aside. So if something is kodesh, off limits. Set aside. And then suppose I did something to take it out of its being set aside, out of its being off limits. Now I brought it back into the pedestrian everyday reality. What did I do? I turned something that was kodesh into something that is now chol. Chol means weekday or everyday. Chol and challah are a short journey. So the Ksav Kabbalah says that's why it's called challah. And the really interesting thing is that Ezra wanted people to honor and revere the Shabbos. So he said, regardless of when you go to a bakery, at least for Shabbos, bake your own bread. It was a sign of respect, honor for Shabbos. And because Shabbos, once a week, even ordinary people, everybody would bake their own bread. When they bake their own bread, what did they get to do? The mitzvah of? Challah. Because they got to the mitzvah of challah on a regular basis, at least once a week, that's how the Shabbos bread ended up getting known as challah. I never saw this anywhere, but it must be the case. That's what's logical.
Yeah.
Right? And the interesting thing is that challah, as I mentioned many times, is the only Jewish bread. Mm. How could bread be Jewish? Mm. It's actually a nonsensical bread. Mm. You take pieces of dough, you braid them together, and then you bake it. And what happens when you braid dough together, let it rise together, what happens? It becomes a single piece of dough. Mm-hmm. So what'd you do it for? What'd you separate the pieces of dough? Roll them out, braid it together, so it should become a single piece of dough. We're supposed to be a smart people. You're wasting your time. Think about it. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. You want a decorated dough? No problem. In Europe, they have various countries that have decorative dough. Bavarian traditional bread. It's a lump of dough, and they put a little braid on top. Mm-hmm. You put it into something that would make a shape of braids, if you want to have braids. Nobody else came up with this idea of braiding dough, because it makes no sense. But we do it for a reason. To us, this recalls lechem apanim. Lechem apanim, the showbread. We're comprised of how many breads? 12 breads. And this is something which is special about Shabbos. If you take the average challah, 6 braids, you have to have 2 breads on Shabbos. I hold up my challah, 2 breads. I'm holding actually 12. And that's why it's also brought down that the bread, ideally, the challah should be hot on Friday. Because the lechem apanim was always hot. There were many great tzaddikim who were makbid that the bread should be baked fresh on Friday, which should still actually be warm. So you could put it back in the oven. That's what my wife does before Shabbos. Put it back in the oven, and then you take it out of the oven, it's nice and warm. That's the way Shabbos bread should be ideal. At any rate, the Torah then suddenly shifts gears. After having spent these few verses speaking about coming to the land of Israel, and challah, the Torah says, v'chi sisgu, and if you'll make a big mistake, you won't do all these mitzvahs, which God spoke to Moshe. It's called everything that God commanded you. Everything He commanded you from the day He spoke to you, going back all the way to Mount Sinai. So the two verses speak about violating all the mitzvahs. And then after speaking about violating all the mitzvahs, what do? Then we speak about, and if it was one of the leaders of the congregation who does this by accident, and we speak about a korban that is brought for idolatry. So, what is this? Torah says we went from a person who was observing mitzvahs to a person who observes nothing. That's a pretty big jump. How'd you get to all the mitzvahs? Who's so talented to violate all the mitzvahs just like that? So the Rashi says, I'll tell you, there's one Aveda, you do this, it's bad stuff. It's like you violated all the Avedas. And this is Aveda Zara Hoysa B'chlal Kala Mitzvah. Aveda Zara was included in all the mitzvahs. So in other words, when we do, a person violates Aveda Zara, as Rashi explains, then that's considered to be all the mitzvahs. And that's how somebody will say to you, somebody embraces a foreign faith, a foreign deity, we say it's as if like, he's out of the picture. Left Judaism. So it's one mitzvah. Okay, so he believes in a little godhead. For this, we distance him from the whole Jewish community. He said, yeah. Why? Because this is the mitzvah. Everything rises and falls on the mitzvah in which we either are Hashem's people or are not. So what is the obvious question? How did we go from challah to suddenly talking about Avodah Zarah? This seems like a total non sequitur. From one extreme to the other. Here we were making challah, everything's so nice and beautiful, separating portions of dough, and then boom, Avodah Zarah. So we have a fascinating teaching from our sages, and that's found here in the Buden book. The Rebbe quotes the words of Rashi here on page Reish Lamed Zayin, and he says, Rashi says, "Eskol ha-mitzvah she-tziva, all the mitzvahs that God commanded, magid." This is a teaching. This shows us. If you acknowledge the supremacy, the primacy, the power of our idols, that you are. It's as if you violate. No, sorry, it's not. Sorry. Go back 2 pages. Page Reish Lamed Gimel, Simcha Vav. This is what I was looking for. So the Rebbe here brings a quote from the Vayikra Rabbah. The Medrash Shabbos says like this. The question we just asked, why is the mitzvah of challah connected to the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah? Why does one flow into the other? And the Medrash answers, to tell you, Shekola Mekaya Mitzvah Challah. You give that piece of dough, ki ilu bitl avodah zarah. It's like you smashed all the idols. But if you violate, you do away, you abrogate the mitzvah of the challah, you don't give you a piece of dough, it's as if you worship all the idols. That's a lot of dough. A little piece of dough is all the difference? That means I do or don't believe? How did dough become so important? And the Rebbe asked that question. Ma kesher be mitzvahs hafrashas challah, which is a mitzvah maisis pshuta. What's the difference between separating dough, which is a simple mitzvah, le'isra ve'edah zorah? Isra ve'edah zorah is a yisayda amuna. That's the foundation, the pillar of faith. First, is God? Yeah, I have my own God. I worship. I'll tell God who and when I worship and how I worship. I don't have to focus that I'm created in God's image. I create my own God in my own image. Like, how do these two end up even in corollary with one another? And the Medrash says, yeah, you want to know why? You want to know why they're juxtaposed? Because it's mamash equal. Because one is like the other. It's not even the Medrash didn't answer the question. It just compounded the question exponentially. Number two, what is the expression, bitul avodah zarah? It's like you did away with avodah zarah. Kiyum avodah zarah, fulfilled avodah zarah. The better verbiage, the typical verbiage used in Torah literature is koifer avodah zarah. Either deny avodah zarah or meida, or acknowledge avodah zarah. What's the business of building or dismantling? So the Rebbe gives us a biur, an explanation, b'derech ha-chassidus. This is not on a literal level, but if you think about the motif of this mitzvah in a deeper way, the more spiritual sense, you'll see how there is a direct link and connection between the two. Mitzvah safrashas challah, the mitzvah of separating challah, noyada is developed and focused on kedei lahaviyah sa'odom lahakara, to bring a person to the realization shahalechem, that the bread, which is a semel, which is a symbol for all tzarchi Adam, einai pri amali shalai al pi derech hateva. It's not yours. You didn't grow this. You didn't make this happen. Mm-hmm. But where did it come from? It's a matana. It's a gift. It came Me'akadosh Baruch Hu. Why? But I went and planted. You know what? There's plenty of people who plant, and what do they get?
Nothing.
Garnished. They don't get a bagel, they get the whole of the bagel. Doesn't always work, but you planted, and you got nice. Who should you thank? Kadosh Baruch. Ki hu hanoisen lechakoyach lasas choyel. Who gave you the koyach to do this? Almighty God. V'lachein mitzvah zu anigu da muchletes laveda zora. Therefore, this mitzvah is the polar opposite of idolatry. Shekein aveda zora ein pirush adavka aveda silulim. You think aveda zora requires a little statue that you have to bow in front of and wash it and bring bananas to it? That's an avodah zarah. Elokol tfisa shalafio yeshne keches atzmiyah. The moment a person comes and says, "There's God, and there's other forces. There's other forces. It's not so simple. It's not as if it's only God." The moment you say that, that is idolatry. That is idolatry. And this then is the meaning of bitul avodah zarah, kiyum avodah zarah, building, developing, or dismantling avodah zarah. Matzave ativa shela olam, the nature of this world, as it is, as God created it, it broadcasts a message of idolatry. The world says, I know that I'm a way I separated gifts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this, you do away with the assumption that in the end, I am my own master. It's an act of homage, it's an act of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'idach, if a person doesn't give challah, he's like, I have to give challah. When he doesn't give challah, what is he effectively doing? He's effectively saying, I'm my own master. Don't tell me what to do, God. I'll tell you what I want to do. I'll be spiritual in my way. And so challah becomes the paradigm of devotion to Hashem. It becomes the expression of you do believe that God is in control, or you think you're in control. That's the meaning that the Medrash says, that the reason this was put together, by being Mekayim, by fulfilling the Mitzvah, I do away with idolatry. And call Hamavatl Mitzvah Challah, if you do away with the Mitzvah Challah, then ultimately Kiyum, then you fulfilled, unfortunately, the ideal that allows for Avodah Zarah to develop. With this, we conclude our study of Parshas Shlach.